But beyond that, and really connected to that, and a consequence of that, to take it to the next level, Chassidus defines the difference between an animal and a human being as the difference between seichel and midos. What defines and makes a human being unique is his mind. What makes an animal unique are its emotions, its natural tendencies and proclivities and instincts. Now, what does that mean? We respond primarily through emotions, primarily within the realm of emotions. Everybody knows that. And animals are very clever and very wise and sometimes contrive very clever themes and so forth. And the answer is really connected to what the Alter Rebbe wrote in chapter 9, that the animal soul of the Jew dwells in the heart and the divine soul dwells in the mind, although both have both. But what a human being is capable of is emotions that are a product of the mind. Of course, one must have a mind as well as emotions. What defines, what is the unique stamp and contribution of a human being is the mind. Even the emotions are connected to the mind experience. What is unique about the animal is that even its cleverness, its wisdom, its intuition, its awareness, its schemes and its plans, its intellect are really connected to the realm of emotions. And what this means briefly is as follows. Emotions is a description of a subjective condition. I feel thus and thus. I melt away within the presence of this and this human being. I have this and this powerful tendency, this love, this awe, this fear, this dread. It's a description of my subjective condition, whether positive, negative, beautiful, awesome, splendid, romantic, dramatic, or disastrous. That's midos. What is seichel? What does seichel mean? The real description of seichel, of intellect, is the ability of man to experience and internalize, to understand, to digest an objective truth that transcends my condition. That's what intellect means. Intellect means, yes, irrelevance. That's its disastrous element, and it's also its beauty. Intellect is defined by its irrelevance to my personal life. Intellect underscores the human ability to soar beyond what he or she feels or does not feel, and to dissect, understand, internalize, digest, ingest a certain truth that comes from beyond myself. When the Alter Rebbe exalts seichel over midos, he is not exalting a detached person over a person who's emotionally evolved. Heaven forbid. You think about chassidus all day. When do you think about yourself? It's more powerful to think about yourself. That's the real thing. What he is exalting is the emotional experience that is a product of your awareness versus the emotional experience which is innate to your structure and your essential intrinsic condition. And here lay the power of a human being versus an animal. An animal has a lot of emotions. In fact, many of the emotions of animals are adorable and cute. Ask people who have pets. And they will describe to you the love that their dog has to them. Hashem created animals in a way that certain elements are pleasing to the animal. Certain elements are displeasing to the animal. Certain elements get an animal excited. Certain people or objects an animal is in love with, an animal fears, an animal dreads, and so on and so forth. There's no question about it. Those are midos. Those are powerful emotions. But those are emotions that stem from what? From its innate condition. From its identity. I'm attracted to you because my identity is attracted to a character of your nature. What a human being is capable of something else, another type of emotion. I become aware of a certain truth that transcends my subjective condition, whatever it may be. And Chassidus insists, based on Kabbalah and Yiddishkeit, that mayach shalat al alef, that true awareness and meditation can elicit, can give birth, can produce respective emotions. Here, I fall in love with this because this is the truth. It's not that my nature innately gravitates to this, which is a powerful emotional experience. It begins with seichel. I come to meditate and to discover and to become aware of a certain truth. And that meditation and that awareness elicits, produces, and gives birth to an emotion which reflects that awareness. It's not I feel love to you because I happen to feel love to you. It's I feel love to you because it's the right thing to feel love to you. It doesn't remain in the objective world. It's the right thing to feel love to you. It becomes translated in very vulnerable emotions. But their source is seichel. Which is deeper and which is more powerful? You can't compare. The first love, and I want to tell you, let's be very honest about it. You can live your whole life operating only within the mode of animal love. And you know what? You can live 80, 90 years and be a good mensch. Be a real mensch. And never leave the element of animal love. You can be a mensch. Why? A human being has certain natural instincts. And we are pleased by certain things. We are displeased by other things. And you can operate in that mode. There are millions of people who never experienced a human emotion. All of their emotions and expressions, emotional expressions, are a consequence of their innate makeup. But that can never be real love. You know why? Because the basis, the premise, the foundation of love is my identity. So if the basis of the love is my identity, so therefore, the love itself can never be a real love in which you totally melt away and transcend yourself in connecting with other human being. To give a simple illustration, this is on the lowest level of animal love. You know, there are certain people who when they're in a good mood, they're very loving. They're very loving. There are certain husbands, for example. When they're in a good mood, they're so loving and gentle and kind and sensitive and giving, and they'll do anything for their spouse. But if something ticks them off, or they have a hard day, or they're not feeling so well, or they're tired, or they're exhausted, and so forth, this very loving person suddenly turns into a devouring beast, insulting, abusive, insensitive, apathetic, indifferent. What happened? What happened was, when I was kind, was I kind? My identity at that moment was feeling good with you. You were pleasing me. So it works. But now I'm stressed. My love to you is not coming because as a truck dies, because it's the right thing to love you. It's because it suited my ego and it suited my mode. And when it doesn't suit my mode, it's gone. That's not even real animal love. That's, which we'll soon see, is the lowest level in animal love itself. There are certain people who are very mushy and very vulnerable and they're very loving and kind, but it has to go their way. And if you do something, if they come home and dinner is not ready, suddenly all their kindness and all their vulnerability is gone. This is an example of the disadvantage of the lower quality of this type of love. But even if it's a higher level of animal love, even if it's a higher level, nonetheless, it doesn't change with a mood. It's a deeper level. It doesn't change when you're stressed, you don't have it. It's all based on my identity. Real love begins when you create your love. It didn't start with you. It didn't start because you feel it. It started with understanding a certain truth that's beyond you. And this truth is deserving of love. And that elicits the love. This is true selfless love. This is not intrinsic love. This is transcendental love. It comes from a place beyond you. This is what seichel dikah love means. So that's why the translation, instinctive love versus intellectual love, doesn't really convey the intensity of the idea. It's self-oriented love versus transcendental love. Not self, it's not selfish love, it's real love. But it's a love that begins with my identity. And thus ultimately ends with my identity. And you can live your whole life with that love and you'll be a nice gentleman. But it's not the real thing. In the spiritual experience of a yid, and here the Tanya comes in, we can also operate in these two modes. A yid can relate to godliness on two levels. A yid can love godliness in a love that's defined as a natural love and a love that's defined as a transcendental element of love. The Alter Rebbe says if you remove the clutter from your consciousness, you'll discover that innately you love spirituality. Every yid experiences spirituality very deeply. It's something that pleases you by your very nature. Just like an animal loves certain elements. The dog loves its master and so on and so forth. Nafshi chaylas avasecha, as we spoke last, we discussed last week. The soul of the human being yearns and aspires to melt away in the all-pervading reality of Hashem. Ah, you feel that you're a beastly, crude, egotistical, physical, materialistic, non-spiritual animal? Those are external layers. Remove the garbage. Remove the rubble. Pierce through the layers, the opaque walls and veils and so forth. Probe through the stratums of your psyche and character. And you'll discover a soul that's naturally in love with spirituality, with godliness, with the truth of existence, with emes, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a powerful love. But it's not human love. This is the chai of the Jew. This is the Jewish animal, not the Jewish human being. I experience spirituality very deeply, but it's according to my nature. It's as spirituality becomes appealing to my soul, to my nature. There's another type of avat Hashem. You experience spirituality according to its truth. This is the world of Briya versus the world of Yetzirah. What does Yetzirah mean? Formation. What does Briya mean? Creation. So the Ramban writes in the beginning of Parshas Bereishis that Bara denotes creation, something from nothing. The first initial creation. Yetzirah, it's already existing. It's just formatted, developed. It's evolving. Yetzirah is something from something. Briya is something from nothing. In psychological terms, there's two types of love. In Yetzirah, you never recreate yourself. In Yetzirah, you format yourself. You develop yourself. In Briya, you transcend yourself, you become nothing, and then you recreate yourself, something from nothing. In Yetzirah, the you never changed. What you are, you are. It might be concealed. In Briya, you transform yourself, you recreate yourself. Yaakov didn't see Yosef for 22 years. After 22 years, he encounters Yosef. Imagine what was going on in his heart at that moment. I don't believe there is the pen that can transcribe on a piece of paper the feelings that were going through Yaakov's heart at that moment when he observed Yosef's countenance. There's no words in the human vocabulary to depict and convey the intensity of the emotion that Yaakov experienced at that time. Imagine His heart must have experienced an atomic energy of overwhelming love. The deepest, powerful description of love that any human being can devise, Yaakov experienced that and much more. Imagine, people love. There are certain moments you experience love. Everyone has, hopefully, those moments. But imagine, what can be a moment when that energy of love can be glaring in your face and can have atomic, titanic powers that are indescribable? That would be the moment. You didn't see your only son for 22 years, your favorite son, after everything you went through at the age in which you are. You see him. You know what was going on in Yaakov's heart then? The deepest possible emotion, human emotion of love was experienced then. So what did Yaakov do? He said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He took it all and he gave it to Hashem. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, Shema Yisrael. There's no I. He gave it all to Hashem. And he said, I need nothing. I want nothing. Then he kissed Yosef. The kiss that followed Shema, that was a kiss. The embrace that followed Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that was an embrace. That was an eternal kiss. That was an eternal embrace. That was a transcendental kiss. But to experience that, you have to first give up the first love. It would have been much easier for Yaakov to just kiss Yosef, to feed off that moment. When you have Avav Yirativis, you want to feed off that moment because it's great, it's awesome. It's not the real thing. Give it away. Give it away. Bria, become nothing. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now give Yosef a kiss. This is a different type of kiss. It's an really idealistic love. It's an infinite love. It's an undefined love. It's not based on my identity, even my fatherly identity. It's based on infinite truth. And this is a different type of Ava. So now there's two types of Jews. The Alter Rebbe says, not always is a Jew interested in truth. In fact, 99% of our days and nights, we don't give a hoot about truth. We give a hoot about being happy. So the Alter Rebbe says, you know what? I don't care. But if you want to be happy, be spiritual, because that's who you are. So Misha Daitik Tzara, to ascend to the world of Briya, you have to have a lot of courage, discipline, wisdom, powerful intelligence, meditative skills, self-discipline in a powerful way. So Dr. Rebbe says, the animal love is not the real thing, but you can always rely on it. If you're uninspired, if you're lazy, if you're experiencing profound negative impulses and cravings, we tell a Yid, don't fall prey to your cravings because really right now you're in love with Hashem. So remember, animal love must be there. We need Yitzira desperately. Because we don't have the courage of Yaakov after 22 years to say Shema Yisrael. We want to be fulfilled. Zogd Alter Rebbe, if you want to be really fulfilled, find out who you are. And you want to know who you are. At the core of your soul, you're in love with Hashem. At the core of your heart, you need spirituality. You don't need ego and politics and lies and transgressions and all the unhealthy impulses. It's not you. But that's not still a real Yid. Again, you could live your whole life and be a real Yid, but it's not the real Yid. It's Gan Eden Atachten, it's not Gan Eden Elyon. Gan Eden Elyon, you get to experience godliness on its terms. You get to experience your lover on his or her terms, not on your terms. In Ava Tivitz, you experience the other person on your terms. That's what it's all about. In Bria, in Ava Sichlis, you experience the other person on his terms. Here is where love really plays itself out. This is the gift of human love. I told you last week, the advantage of man over an animal is he can become nothing. He can say Shema Yisrael. Obviously, Yaakov was setting an example, was creating an energy that was to imbue the Jewish people for all of the generations. That was the idea. Yaakov was our father, our patriarch. So to summarize, the Alter Rebbe says, there are malachim, there are yitzira. There's nothing outside of godliness in yitzira. It's only about excitement of godliness. But it's not chabad of Ein Sof, it's the midos of Ein Sof. It's an emotional experience with godliness. Because Hashem reveals Himself there only in a fashion that suits their identity. In Bria, the creatures transcend themselves. But even the souls that experience only the natural love, not the transcendental love, He says on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, they ascend. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Through the pillar. Through the pillar. The pillar is symbolic of the powerful transition that has to be made in your life when you want to go from this type of love to this type of love. The Zohar talks about two elements that allow the souls to travel from Gan Eden Atachnik to Gan Eden Alyan. Nahar Dinur, the river called Dinur, and the Amud, the pillar. Nahar Dinur is leaving go of your past hopes and dreams. The Amud, the pillar, is gaining a glimpse into your higher reality. By way of illustration, anyone who has to make a deep psychological transition in their life, there's a two-step program. A, you have to be ready to give up your past. Surrender. To give it up. All your expectations, addictions, habits, dreams, you give up. In other words, people usually heal when they're devastated. They're totally devastated. But that's Nahar Dinur, but it's like a mikveh. In a mikveh, you totally submerge, you become nothing. That's why not even one hair can stick out. Because if one hair is sticking out, there's still part of your previous ego there. You're totally submerged, you're lost. But that's not enough to heal. You need a glimpse of the future reality, which motivates you. In order for Yaakov to experience that love towards Yosef, he had to first give up the previous love. Because if you don't give up the previous love, you can't experience the higher type of love. Because you remain confined to your identity. You're insisting on clinging to your own version of things. So that's why you first have to lose the old Ahava. You first have to lose the old Ahava. Yaakov had to say, I don't need anything. I don't even exist. That's hard, that's hard. And then you get as a gift, you get Yosef back. Hashem wants that Avraham should love Yitzchak, not with animal love, not with human love in the literal sense, but with godly love, infinite love, transcendental love. So for that, Avram has to be ready to give up Yitzchak. To let go of all your expectations. Let go of everything. Say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The moment Avram does that, Hashem says, I don't need Yitzchak. You take him back. But when Avram walked back with Yitzchak from the Akedah,
the love between them was a different type of love. It was a divine love. It was an infinite love. It wasn't a human love. It wasn't an animal love. And it wasn't a human animal love. It was the real element of a human love. So that's the river. And then there's the amud, the pillar. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, all over the world, are elevated to the next consciousness, to a higher level. Asiya to Yetzirah, Yetzirah to Bria, Bria to Atzilus. That's why on Shabbos we say, Ritzei v'hachlitzeinu Hashem alakeinu. What does v'hachlitzeinu mean, you know? Literally it means strengthen us. Chassidus says hachlitzeinu from the term chlitza. What's chlitza? Extricate. The process of yibum where the woman removes the shoe, chlitza, she removes the shoe of that, of her brother-in-law who doesn't want to marry her after her husband died without children. Ritzeva hachlitzenu, extricate. Zogde tzemach tzedek, in her Torah, that a whole week Hashem interacts with the world via a shoe. To keep him grounded. Shabbos is Ritzeva hachlitzenu. Yetzirah goes into Bria. So even a Jew who experienced only the natural love, but on Shabbos, due to the natural elevation of consciousness, the soul goes into Gan Eden Elyon and experiences a transcendental love. But after everything's said and done, it's still not Atzilus. Relative to Atzilus, Bria is still called an egotistical world. And even Yetzirah is not Asiya. Asiya is much lower than Yetzirah. And it's still not fear that the malachim don't get to ascend on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. Only the souls. Why don't the malachim get to ascend? So all of the above, the Alter Rebbe will discuss in the continuation of the chapter. Have a loving week. Rosh Chodesh, you say, Yalav Yavai. Yalav Yavai. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, there is an elevator. Shabbos is a Shabbos elevator. Rosh Chodesh is a Rosh Chodesh elevator from Yetzirah to Bria. Gan Eden Elyon. So the Ma'aseh Merkava operates on all four modes. Kisei is the Bria. And on the Kisei is Dmus Adam. It says Dmus Adam. So Dmus of Adam. Ataze. That's good. That's good, yeah. Yeah, that's why he says it. Because I heard people learning that Alter Rebbe is invalidating emotions. Bria seichel. No, punkt farkert. In Bria, the midos, the emotions are seicheldik. It's not Bria seichel. The emotions are seicheldik. Right. Yeah, no, I was taka thinking. He says, Aval ba'ilam ha'briya me'idis shom chachmasi v'nasi v'daitish l'insav baruch hu shein makira midis v'ein v'sheirish lahan. What's Negeya? Then he says, "Kedisha b'tikunim de'imei la'makanan abekarsaya."
You see, he doesn't throw the metaphor for the
meichin.
No, for the metaphor.
Right.
He throws the metaphor because he wants to come to the.
Yeah. So you're saying he says, "Shein makir hamidus ve'ein v'sheirish l'han," to tell you that fakert in Bria you have deeper midus. You have the origin of the midas. You have the midas from their first moment, from their source. You have midas deeper. It makes midas more complete. It's wholesome midas. Yeah. I just want to say, even in Yetzirah midas, Meichen are still the mothers of the midas. But it's not the real mothers. Even animals, in a way, their wisdom is the mother of their midas. Even the intrinsic love of the Jew needs wisdom as a mother. Because you need your intellect, first of all, to allow you to discover the midos, but only to allow you to discover them, not to create them. To discover them, to control them, to deal with them,
to abstain from them, to ignore them, and so forth. It's a mother that's more, that didn't give birth to the child, but that deals with the child, that helps the child, that doesn't judge the child, and so forth. A conduit more than a mother, you mean?
Think of a 2-year-old. He has all of the wildest instincts, whether it's positive instincts or selfish instincts, without an active intellectual process.
You're saying a child has instincts without an active intellectual process. Yeah. So that's why it's not a real parent. It's a fake parent. It's a conduit more. It's a helper. It's an assistant. But in the Bria Midas, their Chabad is the aim, the mother. Of course. Avativus is a Gevalda Kazakh. Avativus is unbelievable. You're in love with God. Of course you're in love with God.
Not imagination.
No, your mama's in love. Your mama's in love. But why are you in love with God? Yeah, but why are you in love with Hashem? Why? What's the basis of it? Not because the truth of godliness demands or requires that it be loved.
That's because you love the truth. It suits
your identity. Your identity is a good identity, no question about it. But it's limited, it's therefore limited, but it's based on the I. The I provokes the love. You can't really lose yourself within the second person. Never. You can have great moments, fulfilling moments, but you never lose yourself with another person. And I'll tell you, in human relationships, who says you have to? Chassidus demands it in all relationships, even in spouse relationships, and even in father and children relationships, and so forth. But you can get away with it. But when you're dealing with godliness, by definition, the whole concept of godliness is the concept of losing yourself within it. Of going beyond the ego. To the extent that you're self-conscious, that's the extent that you don't get it. To the extent that you're not self-conscious, that's the extent to which you get it. Relationships in the human world is not about losing yourself within the other person necessarily. There are those moments. But godliness, the whole element of the relationship, means experiencing the einoid mulvade, that there's nothing besides him. That everything is nullified in his presence. That's the issue. So that's why Yetzirah, the very fact that it justifies my identity, means that I'm not really relating to the truth. He is contracted and obscured there in a very powerful way. In Bria, I experience him, and therefore I love him, and therefore you really melt away in Bria. In Bria, it says in Chassidus, they experience Einoid Mulvada, Yetzirah not. So, Eibazei, what's wrong with Bria? Why do you need to go to Atzilus?
This is a nullification.
Because in Bria, they experience Einoid Mulvade. That's the problem. In Bria, there's a lover. In contrast to Atzilus.
Atzilus is complete nullification.
In Atzilus, there's no lover.
There's no I.
There's no lover. We'll see next week is Atzilus. And now he goes back to explain that there's kavanah. When you do a mitzvah, you can be in Atzilus, you can be in Bria, you can be in Yetzirah, and you can be in Asiya. And as far as connecting to Hashem, it's all the same, because Hashem is present in all the worlds. But as far as the revelation and the impact, there's a big difference between these four worlds. So there's a very nuanced edifice that's being constructed here. It's not... I'm just saying, people read it sometimes, they see he's flying from Gan Eden Elyon to Gan Eden Atachten, to Chayas, to Behemoth, to Amudim, to Shabbos, to Rish Chedesh. It's a very meticulous construction here of one of the basic systems of Yiddishkeit. So. He's saying he drives a stick shift, shift car. They still make a lot of stuff. That's good. That's a good meditation for traffic. In Israel, they mostly have only these stick shift cars. But he's saying you can't go from 1 to 2 if you don't first go into neutral. You got to go back. You got to lose the 1 before you go into 2.
But yet, if you don't go into the next gear, you decelerate.
There's a Mishnah, Safbab Metzia, an interesting Mishnah about what does the Mishnah say there?
If you have shtei ginois, two people own two gardens, or hayerig bein tayim, and there's vegetables in between. So the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says the yerig belongs to the elyon, and Rabbi Yehuda says the yerig belongs to the tachtein. And there's a whole big argument to who these vegetables belong. Rabbi Meir says that if the elyon was to demolish his garden, there would be no yerakis. Rabbi Yehuda says that if the tachtein were to fill up his garden with earth, there would be no yerakis, and so forth. So the Tzemach Tzedek writes in the Torah that he saw in the writings of Rabbi Avram Hamalach, the son of the Magid, that Shtei Ginois is Gan Eden Elyon, Gan Eden Atachten. The Yerek Bin Tayim is the Amud, the pillar. Reb Meir, the Tzemach Tzedek writes in the Torah, my Mari Razal, Reb Meir is illumination, revelation. Reb Yehuda is submission, Haidah, much lower level. So Reb Meir says the Yerek belongs to the Elyon. Reb Yehuda says the Yerek belongs to the Tachten. Shalom Aleichem. What's machst du?
Let's see your club now. No, that's not it. I want to do something else. What should I do?
There's two types of avoiders. One avoider is, I am programmed in a certain way, and I feed off that, and I live that way.
And that's what you're doing.
That's what you do. Everyone has certain beteva and yonim that you love and you don't love. And by a yid, it's nafshi chelos avasach.
Then there's no to that, and go to some other kind of love.
Then there's a new wave. A new wave is that what's negaya to you is not. In the first case, what's negaya to me is me. It's just I happen to love this thing, so therefore I love you. But why do I love you? Because I love you. That's my nature. The second stage, I'm ready to go beyond the I, regardless of what I feel or I don't feel. I'm looking for what is the truth. And that truth elicits an emotion following that truth. Here, the emotion is not feeding into the I. I'm not interested in the I was ready to transcend it. Here, the love is coming because it's emistic, and the emis requires me to love it. It's a whole other type of ava. Now, to do that, you have to be ready to let go of the I.
So what's he supposed to say to himself? Directions.
I think the first stage in working on this area, and you're asking practically, I think the first stage of pursuing it is examining our love. And bechlal, our love towards people. And looking, what we spoke about before, I know a person, he has a kind heart, very kind heart. But if something
goes,
it ticks him off the wrong way, there goes all the kindness. We have to examine all elements of our love and see if the reason I'm loving is just because my nature is now dictating that I should love this person or this thing. But if it doesn't suit my nature, forget about it. There goes the love. But it takes a lot of discipline. And we will discover that's usually the case. And to try to experience an ava based on emes, not because I'm feeling it, because it pleases my identity at this moment. It's a whole different, it's an idealistic love, it's a transcendental love, it's a very selfless love. It's very pure, it's a very pure love. The first love is not pure. It's powerful, it's beautiful, but it's not totally pure. This is a pure love. It transcends ambition, it transcends ego, it transcends me, it transcends I. It's very, very, it's a whole other kind. It's a whole other kind of love.
The
thing is, that as the Chassidus brings the pasuk, Mizel, Mizel, Tanach Yadcha. Don't let go of the Avam Soteris, because there are moments that you need it. Yeah, there are moments that you have to resort back to the innate love. Because what happens when you're in a down, you're in a low moment, you don't have the ability to care for truth, to transcend, to think about truth, you don't. You have to rely on that you're innately connected when you're uninspired and you don't want to be inspired. So now what?
But by definition, they don't feed on each other. We can't say that. It's another route.
It's another path.
Just because it chooses my identity, does it mean that it's a reality based on me?
The fact that it's a reality that pleases my identity, it means it's a reality that's tailored to the needs and the character of my identity. And that's what Yetzirah is. Yetzirah, you see, every world, everyone, what's the past world? What are the worlds? What are the worlds? What happened before the worlds and after the world? So the Alter Rebbe described in Lama Dvav, world means opaqueness. Olam comes from the word Helam, concealment. Pre-creation and post-creation, but I don't mean time-wise. In the pre-creation mode, the only reality is Hashem Himself. Hashem's intimate reality, because in that presence really nothing else exists, as discussed at length in Tanya. The various worlds that He created conceal that truth. In each world, that truth of Hashem's exclusive reality is a little more concealed. Yeah, in Atzilus, there's no concealment. It's a world where there's no concealment. In Bria, there's a little concealment. In Yetzirah, more. And finally, in Asiya, there's total concealment. You don't even know there's a God. Not only don't you know there's no world, in Atzilus, there's no world. In Asiya, you think there's no God. That's how far Asiya is. Yetzirah, you know there's a God. Not only you know there's a God, it's all about God. But there's still a lot of concealment. Why? Because the avativus means, in psychological terms, what does the avativus mean? It's a love that's based on your identity, which means it's tailored to your identity, and therefore you're pleased with it. So in Yetzirah, Hashem's energy tailors itself to the identity of the creatures of Yetzirah, and therefore they're overwhelmed by godliness and they're in love with godliness. In Bria, He doesn't tailor Himself to anybody's identity. In Bria, He reveals His truth. Chachma bin Adas, His truth. And the creatures of Bria perceive His truth. And they're nullified in the presence of that truth. They fall in love with that truth. It's not about them. But it's still not Atzilus. That's what we'll learn next week. Right. You understand? Right. That's what I meant. Bria, it says, is creation. Atzilus is not creation. Atzilus is emanation. Bria, Hashem created. Yetzirah, He formatted. Psychologically, what does it mean? In Bria, you recreate yourself. In Yetzirah, you don't recreate yourself. Whatever I am, I am. I will love this type of person and never this type of person. Never. Because it's not who I am. I can format my love. I can develop my love. I can reveal my love. What does formation mean? Revelation, development, evolution. I can't create my love. In Bria, you create your love. In Yetzirah, you never create your love. What you have, a malach. What you have, a behemoth. Whatever it has. You can't demand from a dog or a cat or a bird to transcend itself, to discover a truth, and then to elicit respective emotions. You can't. You can't recreate itself. A human being is capable of doing that. You can get into the energy of Bria. Bria means you discover the nothingness, your own nothingness, in the presence of Hashem, and you recreate yourself based on that nothingness, inconsistent, in sync with that nothingness. You recreate yourself based on the true nothingness of existence, which is Hashem, which we call nothingness. You get it? In Yetzirah, you don't recreate yourself. In Yetzirah, you reformat yourself. Your hard drive in Yetzirah is already established. You could program this program, play around with your soft drive and so forth. The hard drive is there. Yetzirah. In Bria, you become a new person. Yetzirah, in Bria, you could start loving this type of person because it's emes. In Yetzirah, you'll never start loving a type of person that doesn't suit your identity. In Bria, you'll start loving a new type of person.
It's not based on any prejudices. Now, the prejudices of Yetzirah are not bad prejudices. It's just the prejudices of characters, of identities. In Bria, I can transcend everything. I understand the emes. It's not about me. It's about the emes. And I conform to the emes. Yeah. Chachma bin Adas. Chachma bin Adas. You're going outside of your own reality. In Yetzirah, you could say like this. In Yetzirah, the beloved is a din in the lover. In Bria, the lover is a din in the beloved one. You understand? In Yetzirah, there's me. It happens to me that I'm in love with you. It's beautiful. It's great. But it's me. It's about the lover. It's a din in the lover. In Bria, the lover is a din in the beloved one. There's no lover. Who am I? Chachma bin Adas. What is emes? Since this is emes, and it's appropriate to love this emes, so therefore, I love this person. So the I conforms to the truth. In Yetzirah, the truth conforms to the I. It's not a corrupted I. In Bria, the I conforms to the truth. The ayev becomes a din in the nev. It's all about the nev, the beloved one. It changes me as well. Verstehst? It's a whole other vart. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying.
So you can never even compare the two loves, the two avas. In the former ava, the one in the world of Yetzirah, the whole feeling, the whole emotion originated and was a consequence of my identity. The I, that is what produces the love. So the love could never transcend the I because it comes from the I. Why do I love you? Because my identity, my disposition, my psyche, my character gravitates to a human being of your nature. So I could never really melt away in the love. I could never really lose myself in the love. The emotion could never go beyond the place where it came from, which is the I. It was molded. It was created within the confinements of the I. But what about the love of Bria? The love of Bria wasn't created as a result of I. It came about by me transcending the I because of a truth that goes beyond, because of an ideal that goes beyond my identity. So here the intensity of the love, the purity of the love, the beauty of it, the power of it is awesome, it's unbelievable. It's another world, it's a world of Bria. So it's two totally distinct types of personalities, types of spirituality, types of love, and so forth. That's the point.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.